Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, you have reached America Health Crisis. This is Paulette Young speaking. This is through Blog Talk Radio. And our topic we're going to be focusing in is on fathers and families. How do fathers help families? How do families help families? How has the organization Fathers, it should be, I misprinted, but it should be Fathers and Families Coalition of America, help meet the needs of the families that were not being met? Who are some of the practitioners, organizations, communities, and stakeholders who work with Fathers and Families Coalition of America? Fathers and Family Coalition saw that there was a lack of professional development and ongoing training to improve services for the families. Have intervened, began network with the professionals and organization to improve services for fathers and families for the last 20 years. Join us tonight with our guest, James Rodriguez, who's the president and CEO of Fathers Fathers and Family Coalition of America. And also our guest, Selena Lindsay, and I'm your host, Paulette Young. If you wish to speak, you can call in 858-769-4936-1 in order to for all of us to hear you. And you will be heard in every state in the United States and all the different countries on the globe. Try to silence your background noise because this is a live broadcast and people are listening all over. All right. We have, I know, Selena Lindsay on the line. We have James Rodriguez on the line. And I'm not sure who's – is there someone from the 951 area? Okay. Well, yeah. Anyway. Yes? Who can do you want to identify yourself or no? You don't have to.
Velma Gilbert.
All right. So what we're going to do are I want to hear about Fathers and Family Coalition of America, James Rodriguez, who's the president and CEO of that. They've been in operation for the last 20 years. And I know later in the program we're going to talk about they do have a international conference. They've been in business for 20 years, and they've reached millions of families throughout. And so we'll talk about that towards the end. In the meantime, James is going to give us what their mission is and other information about the various people that help in the community. Okay, and then we also have Selena Lindsay. She comes with a big background. She's always on our show, and she'll have some more things she wants to say. And you can jump in at any time. You want to ask questions. You're going to hear from James. There may be things you want to say also. Okay, James, we're going to start with you this time. Are you on the line?
Yes, good evening. How are you doing today?
Oh, good. So introduce yourself and tell the audience a little bit about yourself, and then jump into answering some of these questions. About your organization.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Well, I'm very honored to have been invited to join your radio show today. I serve as the president and chief executive officer for Fathers and Families Coalition of America. And we may have to change that one day because we're starting to get more and more international affiliates. Our organization started it really through Head Start program, which is a federally funded program through the Administration for Children and Families and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. And we had created some energy with working with other colleagues in Arizona. And right when welfare reform was about to shift in 1996, I really started getting involved in public policy. And I worked at a rural Head Start program I just come off active duty from serving active duty for almost 12 years and then into the reserve status full-time. I was a single father of two young children, and actually my oldest daughter was a Head Start child, and she just finished her master's in social work today at Arizona State University, so it's a good day. But going back to...
Congratulations.
Amber's a beautiful young lady, and so is my son. My namesake, James, and my youngest daughter, Jasmine. But when we started this Fathers and Families Coalition, it really was not about fathers in the essence of choosing a mother or a father. It really was about how can we improve services for children. And we were training and working with all of the family service workers, and all of a sudden there became this shift in welfare reform and policy, I believe, always is an indicator of what kind of practices will come in the community. We were awarded a $1 million grant to work with young fathers that were, most of them were incarcerated, and they were all 13 to 26. And they needed some form of family support because they didn't have that support as strong as maybe as other people did before they were even in the incarcerated system. Many of them came from child welfare. The majority of young children in the child welfare system who age out, meaning after 18, most of them will go to prison sometime in their life or jail. And that's a sad thing. So we want to make a little difference. We did not know at that time that fast forward from that first initial grant in 1996 that going into 2019, we would have affiliates from Lagos, Nigeria, Zimbabwe, South Africa and the continent of Africa, two in Australia, Beijing, China, University of Peking, China. We've got presenters coming from Bolivia, Caribbean, Jamaica, United Kingdom, and all of this has really taken me to a place where I really understand the global impacts of a father having on his son or daughter's life before the child is born. Most of the programs wait until after the baby has come, but one of the more critical factors that a father could have is being good to the mother of his son or daughter, especially during pregnancy, because there's a great opportunity for the child to come out healthier and healthier outcomes for the baby, the infant. And all of this has started, and now we're going on our 20th annual conference, and that conference started because our family service workers really didn't know how to engage and work with fathers, didn't know how to prioritize. They really weren't great integrative approaches to work with fathers in the late 90s, and even up maybe the last five years there's really been an increase. But prior to that, meaningful and sustaining services, especially for young Latino and Black fathers in America, just really has not been that strong. And all the indicators that show the impact a father has on the contributions of the child's development, you would think that this would have happened a long time ago, but it hasn't, but doesn't mean it cannot. And I think because of all of the people who are willing to come to our conference from different countries, it's showing that there's a big need for them to want to learn how do we work with fathers and how can we have a deeper influence working with the families that we serve and we work with side by side so that they can have better opportunities to improve the wellness of children and the issues that children are faced when they don't have a father in their life.
Absolutely. You are right. My name is Mike from Singapore. Yeah, I like your title of your show and what you're saying. Absolutely right. I mean, healthcare of, you know, organization like your organization that help the needs of the family to be met and that's a very high task, actually. It's very hard. And also right now, United States of America, I mean, today we have to wait from get toys from fire departments or news, all the news in United States, you know, whatever channel they have in your city, they collect toys for the poor family. Why in this country that 90% of poor or middle class have access to the 10% of the wealth, and top 10% have access to 90% of wealth? This is injustice, indeed. And it was made by design to be poverty, to be poor. By design, they make you unemployed. They make you to suffer. And all these things was designed, my friends. Am I right or wrong? Go ahead, please.
Who wants to respond to that? Does anyone want to
call it? You can. Yeah. Any of you can go pick it up from my.
Well, I know that since I was asked to come on the show to talk about the contributions of a father, and you're looking at the economic contributions that affect children's health and development, a father is more than just a provider. However, when a father's more involved in his child's life or son or daughter, it's more than just the financial support or the material increases. But there are other things, such as how father raises his child is different in terms of even how he communicates with his son or daughter, or how they read together, literacy, and or other factors in the child's development. So I think for us, it goes a little deeper than just, you know, the economical contribution that a father has. And most people that they think about, if you think about this, 51% of all mothers under 30 in the United States that are having a baby today are from unmarried homes. And in black families, it's 76%, as high as 76% that's been reported. And in Hispanic families,
right,
it's almost as high as 67%. So the family formation is changing, which means it takes the providers that are working in the community to understand that there's some early interaction opportunities that we can have that can keep the father engaged in different roles, not just the financial or the economical contribution, but how he helps with the child and learning skills, all kinds of safety. You know, when we work with fathers, and I have gone in classrooms in Head Start, and all of a sudden I can go in there as the only male, and these children will just surround me and run towards me and want to get some attention. That doesn't always happen when a lady walks into the room. And so there's this balancing, what they call mirroring, that children need. And this mirroring effect allows us to also even help children who've been affected with other issues, behavioral, cognitive, academic, and other skills. So I feel like for us, in helping practitioners, it goes far greater than what kind of toys are bought by parents, because toys will end up in a closet eventually, or what are the kind of things that are purchased, because if it's just a moment like a movie, it's really just an escape, but it's the time, it's the quality of the time, and it's also the quality of the relationship that both parents have with each other so that they have healthy interactions so that the child can thrive as well.
I agree with that.
Yeah, go ahead.
Children, what I want to say is children that have fathers that are involved, except the statistics that show that they have better educational outcomes and to be a better person when a father is role modeling good behavior, because that what he chose extends not just when they're little, but it goes into their young years, all the way to young adulthood, when they have that good role model to emulate. And then fathers and families, Coalition of America, you correct me if I'm wrong, James, have partnered with the various organizations, and they get help from these organizations to help these parents and fathers be better role models. Am I correct or wrong?
I think you're correct. We have
that's right.
I'm actually glad that you mentioned that. One of the colleagues I was thinking about, there are a lot of curriculums there for parent education, a lot. And I'm not going to say that one's better than another, but I have had a great relationship with a colleague named Mr. Mark Perlman, and he's the founder and the author of Nurturing Fathers. And what I like about Nurturing Fathers, it takes that one element that comes up front, the bonding. Mm-hmm. Our affiliate in China wanted to be part of Fathers and Families Coalition and create Fathers and Families Coalition of China because they were concerned about the attachment, the bonding with young parents from two different primary sources. One was because of the policy called One China, only having one child, and the impact that it was having on young mothers to not want to have children. The second one having to do with what I'm holding in my hand, technology, that most young adults, and maybe many of us, hold our phones and give our phones more FaceTime than young parents do with their children. And so because of that nurturing component, they started thinking how that it was going to affect the positive cognitive and social development outcomes for children, and how can they work with families to understand that sometimes you don't need to have your phone, or you need to work with each other to create healthier family environments so that you can mitigate the effects of what we call possibilities for early childhood trauma, which is something that's Nurturing Fathers does well, as well as many of our other trainers that are going to come to our conference. And every year, we just don't have a national or international conference, because it is internationally attended in Los Angeles on March 4th through the 7th. We'll have our 20th annual conference, but we put on regional symposiums and institutes so that we can reach people where they're at. We just had one in Orange County in November. Prior to that, we did one in Phoenix and in San Francisco. I think we did 8 this year, so almost every month. And then those affiliates that we're connected with are daily working with mothers and fathers, so that both parents can get the greatest resources to help their families and help their child's development and growth and the wellness of children and families, and to promote fatherhood engagement initiatives in the community. And I want to stress one other thing, too, that I heard about in poverty. Poverty is not economical status doesn't mean that you'll be a better parent. There are a lot of parents that make $100,000 or more a year, and they are psychologically and sometimes emotionally detached from their children because of their concentration level into work or their careers, other aspects. So it's really the nurturing of the family at all levels, engaging and supporting the family throughout all levels of economics and ethnicity. We know that early childhood, the best father in America, I don't know about the world, but the best father in America with a child 0 to 5 doing daily activities that was reported by the National Institute of Health and the Center for Disease Control are African-American fathers. But something happens after age 5 where the African-American father drops off from consistent and most active daily parenting. And that is probably, and I'm not going into research, but it could be because the parents are no longer in a relationship, or they're living in different homes, or there's systems that are set up, or education and schools settings have created barriers. So it's strongly encouraged for us to work with the practitioners, the educators, the child care workers, the Head Start programs, child support enforcement, the children in the child welfare system, and all of us together working for long-term healthy growth and development of our children and our families.
Yes. I'm sure you know this story. In Texas, custody case splits a six-year-old child gender identity in two. A six-year-old James is caught in gender identity nightmare. Under his mom's care in Dallas, Texas, James obediently lives as a trans girl named Luna. But given the choice when he is with the dad, he is a boy. He sex at birth. Then, in their divorce proceedings, the mother charged the father with the child abuse for not affirming James as a she or transgender, has learned that restraining orders against him, and he is and is seeking terminate his parents' right forever. Can you see what's going on inside the United States? My gosh. I mean, the divorce rate is close to 50%. And if the divorce rate is so high for a nation of 30 million, probably now it's close to 400 million, I mean, by the 2020. I mean, isn't you think that needs to be done, that people don't bring the kids and then, in this case, they're fighting for whichever is going to have. And so this is a, you know, so much emotion going on, and child is going to get so much emotion. I mean, why do we have to do these things? First, open your eyes before you get married. Make sure when you do vow, that means until that makes you apart. If you do a vow and say, yes, that apart and don't take it seriously, then it's better not to marry. Because in Las Vegas, you're married tonight, and within 72 hours, you ask for divorce. Is this the future of America?
That was a lot to unpack, but I will start with one thing. Mothers and fathers both provide incredibly and fundamental differences that when you have them both together, not one is better than another in the development of a child. And I mentioned it starting in the womb, and I mentioned how the father, how if he is providing a nurturing environment for the mother going forward and working together as partners, whether they're together in a relationship, it's irrelevant, but they did create a child, and so having that child, they become partners for multiple generations. So well beyond their lives, how they work together will have a meaningful outcome to the life of their child and their grandchildren and their great-grandchildren beyond. So with that to say that both mothers and fathers contribute, and it does also link to strengthening families, which is the fundamental fact of what we're trying to do at Fathers and Families Coalition of America. We're trying to work with family service agencies to together create a culture that really encourages best practices to work with mothers and fathers, some evidence-based interventions in the communities to help people who've gone through some pitfalls in life and say, hey, you can get out of this and we can work together but it's not to put one parent over the other parent, but it's really to look at the impacts of father engagement on child and youth and family well-being, and to encourage the community to be part of the process that cultivates healthier relationships for the wellness of children and families. And I think that's one of the one of the stellar things about our conference, Paulette, is that we're bringing about 60 different presenters, and some of these presenters are coming from England, Ireland, Scotland, Australia, Puerto Rico, the United States. We have a delegate already coming from Nigeria, from Lagos, 10 individuals. And they're coming to be proactive in how can they, and also to make connections. And so whether you're in Carson, California, or Compton, California, or Bronx, New York, or Miami, Florida, or Seattle, Washington, or Anchorage, Alaska, or Phoenix, Arizona, when they come and they get an opportunity to interact with these presenters and other colleagues, they can take those concepts that they're going to get to go back in the community, and that will help with working with the fathers and the children on the issues of how we're going to be in 20 years. I don't know, but I do know one thing. 50 years ago, we only had 5 million children that were raised in a home without both parents. And over that time, it has almost 1,000 gone over. So it's already clearly over 30 million. So whatever the future is, whether family life is going to be two parents married together or it's going to continue to be more unmarried versus legally married, maybe they're living together, if we can work with parents to raise their children in a healthy manner, then I think the next generation will come out better than the two previous generations where they didn't have a lot of resources and they didn't have a lot of assistance from the community, and they definitely didn't have a lot of evidence-based practices. They didn't have a lot of practitioners to work with both mothers and fathers. So now is a great time to do that and to really look at the important support and connections we have with professionals that want to take people to the next level.
I think that also, that's true, but I think that communication is one of the biggest things for staying together with a marriage and plus with kids. You need to be open with your kids. Me and my kids talk about everything. I talk about things that I don't even want. I remember my daughter was telling me one day, well, if you don't want to talk to me, I'm going to go talk to somebody in the street. And she was right. No matter what your kids want to talk about, I think we should be open enough to talk about it.
That's true.
Yes.
Say your name, who was talking.
Yeah, this is Mike from Singapore. I'm Paulette. I know you from other shows. Yes, indeed. And remember, Belarus is the 68% divorce, Russia Federation 65%, Sweden 64%, Latvia 63%, Ukraine 63%, and we go to United States. We are 12, number 12. United States is 50%. And we go down. Iceland is 40%. So, I mean, it seems globally it's divorce rate. Again, I mean, if nucleus of the family is not good, so I don't think so. The country will be great because everybody is divorcing, and the, especially with the kid or daughter, your sons, then it's creating a lot of animosity between them. So then all these countries are in trouble because if your divorce rate, if the first is nucleus, is family. If family is not strong, then city will not be strong, then state will not be strong, and the country will not be strong. Go ahead, please, Paulette.
I was going to say, that's why I really like this organization, Fathers and Family Coalition of America, because it is, and there's other organizations out there, but this one spreads a little bit further than some, or a lot further than some others. But they are after giving the families and the kids tools to work with and how to be a father, how to be a family, how you should be even towards each other, how to be loving towards one another. A lot of people are coming out of families, they don't have what it takes for the next generation to know what it is to how to raise a family. And then we're competing with technology now. You have kids in preschool and kindergarten that are very antisocial because of technology. They're used to having gimmicks in their hands and playing all these games and not socializing at all. You can go in a restaurant. You just see a couple there. One's on the phone and the other's doing some games. What happened?
That's true.
Not even talking or looking at each other. And then you got the kids watching what even a couple does, and which is not a good role model to see or to emulate. So it does take various organizations to recognize the split and that, you know, there is a problem and how do you bring that back? And it can be brought back strong enough so that the next generation, it'll be different. And it can, and you can begin at any time. You don't have to wait. You can begin now. Of course, the average child that is allowed to have these phones and all this technology, it's like the machines become their babysitters. The machines become how they relate. They don't even know how to relate to one another, their peers.
Yes, that's true. Absolutely.
And, that's tragic because, and that's why teen suicide is so high. No one even pays attention that the child is crying for help or they ain't going to be here. The average teenager would have, before they commit suicide, they show all kinds of signs, and it's ignored. And then it's too late. And then parents need to be trained in those areas, too, how to recognize your child's in trouble instead of all this. Discipline shouldn't be done at all. The child is crying for help. But do parents know that's why they're acting out or doing certain things? And I'm positive that with this Fathers and Family Coalition of America, they have, you know, the tools and working with these families so they can turn things around for them so that the next generation can do better than the last generation. We didn't have
I'm glad you said. I'm glad you said that, Paulette, because one of the things that we're doing, and I know I've mentioned our national, our 20th annual conference, March 4th through the 7th, but if we know father involvement affects the behavioral issues in children, but we also know that it also gives positive, when you have positive, healthy interactions between a father and his child, there's also stronger emotional ties and that greater sense of emotional security, or they call oneness. There's a study by Dr. Robert Gell from Jamaica, and he did a study in the Caribbean in Belize. And in his study, he said if a mother did this every single day, but a father did this consistently, his demonstration would have a greater impact than a mother doing it every single day to reduce youth violence, to reduce unplanned teen pregnancy, to decrease what they call self-oneness or suicide ideations that you just mentioned. That one thing is a hug. But a father has to be allowed to hold and hug his child as well, because that means there need to be opportunity for them to be set working with each other. And we know that 65%, some reports have it at almost 70% of those children who do commit suicide come from fatherless homes. And it's not an indicator on mothers. It's just that there's a sense of loss, a sense of was I not good enough, or why am I going through this? And you know people who have gone through that where they suffer thinking later on, but they don't know how to express themselves. And we know that 1 out of 4 girls are molested and 1 out of 6 boys are molested, and that comes from fatherless homes. So all those things add up to the potential of having trauma in childhood that goes into adulthood, that you're broken and you never needed to be broken when you were a child, and you go into an adulthood broken, and then you end up in relationships that are broken as well. I'm really excited about some of the trainers we have. We have some of the best who are going to be training on trauma-informed care practices. I'm really excited about Seeking Safety, which is a trauma-informed care program that Dr. Lisa Javis is going to teach on. Oh, there's an awesome woman who went through the foster care system, actually too, Latasha Watts from the Purple Project in Ohio, and then Tanya Sessions, who's actually from Southern California. We've got some exceptional teachers, Dr. Jarrett Payton, who's a pediatrician out of Pennsylvania, one of my colleagues from Stony Brook University, Anna Hayward, who's going to talk on the impacts of incarceration to children, because sometimes we forget that that's also traumatic too when your father's been incarcerated, or mother. And there are just so many different people who are coming to teach and share their expertise and learn with each other as well. There's a wonderful colleague, Dr. Rosina McAlpine from Australia, Win-Win Parenting, one of our affiliates, and the way that she's going to come and talk about what you said about discipline and how to discipline your child versus punishment. So just, and Mark Perlman is going to do his on Nurturing Fathers program. It's a tremendous program, and I'm very humbled because it does go back to what you shared about how we can help children as well. So, and address some of those things that you just mentioned about suicide and discipline and punishment.
Yeah, because sometimes they think that the only way to correct a child's punishment, there are times, especially in the teen's life, you better not punish them. You need to figure out what's going on. There are times you cannot do certain things. It does not work. They're not robots. They are human beings with feelings that they need to express and learning to express it the correct way. And what James Rodriguez, who's the president and the CEO of Fathers and Family Coalition of America, he keeps mentioning this conference March 4th through 7th of 2019. It's going to be held at the Hilton Los Angeles Airport, 5711 West Century Boulevard. Again, Hilton Los Angeles Airport, 5711 West Century Boulevard. They do have a website. It's www.fathersandfamiliescoalition.org. And there's a number you can call. It's 760-578-8661. Again, www.fathersandfamiliescoalition.org, 760-578-8661. So, that is going to be a great, great, great conference that you'll want to be at. They're having lots of workshops. Those that need what you call the educational units, they're offering that. They're offering quite a bit. And then remember, some of these speakers aren't coming from the United States, so you'll get a feel for what's happening in other countries besides here. And we all have similar problems. It's not a United States problem. It's a world problem. And if we learn to work together, you're going to be helping. They're helping families all over, not just in one city or one state or in one country, because we're all up under the same
Amen.
Problem. I don't know the problem.
Yes, absolutely.
But I can tell you that it's great.
I mean, in Singapore, divorce rate is less, much more less than the United States, much more. Because, here, you know, it's mixture of Chinese, Indian, and pretty much from every country we will find here, Korean, Japanese, and etc. So, but the question is that this technology, as you talked, because smart homes are coming very soon everything is controlled by your Android or Apple, and whether you want, when you come back home or you want it to be cold, for example, you turn it on, boom, boom, five minutes before. Now your home is cool when you come. And this technology is rapidly growing in more than we can catch up and learn about it. And that's a very big problem. And we have virtual secretaries. Number two is virtual secretaries. So if you go D as David, O-O, D as David, L Lima, eecho.com, doodle.com, and you will see, anybody can have a virtual secretaries. And then on top of it, we have AI doctors. Now they're promoting AI doctors, that we are living in exciting times with advancement in medicine, AI technology shaping the future of healthcare delivery around the world. But how would you feel about receiving diagnosis from an artificial intelligence? A private company called Babylon Health is already running a trial with 5 London counties, which encourages consultation with chatbot for emergency calls. And artificial intelligence was trained using massive amount of data in order to advise users to go to the emergency department of the hospital, or even write you prescription, visit a pharmacy, or stay at home. And then number three is care robots. Will we have robots answering the door in the homes? Possibly, yes. Even they are reasonably priced, but probably not that much expensive. And how useful they are, depending on contents, for most, it's probably not the useful to have a robot answering the door. But imagining how helpful a robot receptionist could be placed where there is shortage of staff. And I know, since you work in the healthcare, Paula.
I was going to have to say.
And number five. Yeah, one more.
Health,
number five is. Go ahead.
I'm going to have to cut this a little short because I have Selena Lindsay on the line, and she's always allowed some time to tell us about some of the community things that are going on, because there are people in some of the areas that need the help. They don't know where to get the help, and she's able to give that information. James, I want to thank you for job well done with sharing with us about Fathers and Family Coalition of America, and sharing with us about the upcoming conference, which is going to be very valuable to a lot of people. Okay, Selena, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, I need you to go ahead and give that information. James, was there something else you needed to give as far as the conference is concerned? Okay, I think that call dropped. So go ahead, Selena.
Okay, well, as usual, one of the first ones on the list we want to talk about is VeteranCareSolutions.org. Veteran Care Solutions is run by Lashonda Jones, and you can reach them by dialing area code 909-329-8288. Their primary function is to help a veteran from start to finish. So that means basically if you know someone that needs some help in finding help, income, living, or perhaps being cared for, please give LaShonda a call. If you're a nonprofit and you need help in getting set up as to some of the services and RSPs with the cities, please give her a call and she can give you a great big set full of information. Again, that phone number is area code 909-329-8288. The next organization, I just love talking about these guys, is run by Kathy Braxton. And in fact, on Saturday, they will be having a great toy giveaway for the children. They are located at 280 East D Street in Colton, California. And the name of this organization is Sick and Tired of Being Sick and Tired. And this is another organization which is basically faith-based, and it deals with a lot of those problems between husbands, wives, kids, children, and as you well know, San Bernardino, Colton, a bunch of the ongoing situations that are going on there. Again, the phone number for this organization is area code 562-313-0041. The next organization, I am also one of the directors on the board, and also Paulette Young is usually there doing healthcare consultants and handing out some of the same information which you're hearing on the radio. Sowing Seeds for Life's primary business is food. We are the second largest food bank in Southern California, and the probability if you are a pantry or you're within the Los Angeles County area, you are receiving food from this particular organization. We are located at 1350 Arrow Highway. Should you like to come down and volunteer, please go to our website, which is www.sowingseedsforlifeandthefourcompletelyspelledallthewayout.org. Or you can call on the phone number and ask to speak to Fran Robinson. Her number is 909-293-7735, extension 232. Also, the next organization we'd like to talk about is called Coley's Outreach. Coley's Outreach, the primary function is to help parolees reintegrate back into society. They are both men and women, and so primarily what he does at this particular time is locate a place for the fellas to stay at, and something that we both believe in is not doing what we call flesh warehousing. So we try to find a site that offers job opportunities where a veteran can be trained, and usually they're doing some pretty unique stuff, including auto body painting, just a number of different types of programs that they do, taking kids fishing, a lot of the fathering stuff. All of it is offered, and if he doesn't do it himself, then he will point you to somebody that does so that you can find you some help. The next organization we want to talk about is called Bright Prospect. Bright Prospect is located at 1460 East Hope Boulevard, Suite Number 74 in Pomona, California. They can be reached by calling area code 909-623-9007. Again, that phone number for Bright Prospect and also their website. The website is brightprospect.org. Phone number, again, is area code 909-623-9007. Their primary function is to help low-income students, and they push to get them through college if they're having problems with the internet or other kinds of things, locating a scholarship or going to some of the Bridge Back programs. These are the folks you want to get in touch with. The next organization is called Helping Hands Caring. What they do over there is they help feed the homeless. They have quite a bit of them. They need help with volunteers or donations. If you'd like to talk to them some more about what it is that they do, please call area code 909-730-5313. And usually whenever I do this particular show, I always speak a piece of my own mind, which quickly goes like this. I am pro-poor, interacting with the poor in a way to provide choice and dignity. I have a special belief, which is I believe in fishing rods rather than fish. I try to implement sustainable environmental practices because I have a belief that changing behaviors, then we can change behaviors that contribute to poverty. I am Selena A. Lindsay, and I thank you for listening to this broadcast, and I anticipate that you'll be with us again next week with our next hot topic.
Thank you. We're on every Monday at 8 p.m. We'll talk again. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much, too. Bye-bye.